This is Morning Edition on WNYC. The latest corruption scandals in New York have prompted renewed complaints about dismal levels of voter engagement. 60 years ago, almost everyone who was registered to vote voted for mayor. Now, barely more than a quarter do. But as WNYC's Anna Sale reports, that's not just because of a lack of interest. It's part demographics and partly by design.
A November night 60 years ago, New York City had a new mayor, Robert Wagner.
Our opponents have conceded the election.
Wagner won easily, but the real standout, 93% of New Yorkers turned out.
And to you, I'm eternally grateful for your help.
Contrast that with 2009.
Today, voters from every borough and every background and every neighborhood and every nationality.
Except it wasn't everyone. Just 28% of city voters went to the polls to give Bloomberg his third term, the lowest general election turnout in at least 56 years. The thinking goes that New Yorkers were turned off by Bloomberg's grab at a third term or just felt like his reelection was inevitable. Certainly, that was a factor. The last election was also the low point in a decades-long turnout slide in New York and in cities nationally. But let's start with the 1950s. How'd they get 93% of New Yorkers to the polls?
We're talking about an older, white, working-class, blue-collar population of the city that had been engaged for many decades in city politics.
CUNY political scientist John Mollenkopf says neighborhoods were stable and politically organized.
The old image of the precinct captain who knew everybody on the block and went around to each door at election time to make sure everybody voted.
The big drop-off comes in the 1970s. There was 81% turnout in the 1969 election. That plummeted to 50% in 1973.
I'm grateful and at the same time humbled by the mandate the people of the city have given me.
Mayor Abe Beame was elected. The city was in trouble. Just 2 years after the election, the city was broke.
New York's Mayor Abraham Beame led a delegation of fellow mayors to Washington today, seeking federal financial aid for New York.
The response, as the Daily News famously put it, dropped dead. Even in the hotly contested 1977 election, when Ed Koch and Mario Cuomo faced off in the general, city turnout rates didn't bounce back up. The city's economic collapse brought with it a huge change in who lived here. Immigrants and minority voters now make up a majority of the electorate. But Mollenkopf says immigrant voters often live in neighborhoods where a lot of their neighbors aren't citizens.
And so they're not often targeted for turnout. There's less of a tradition of turning out.
Racial divisions in the city drove voters to the polls in 1989. 60% of New Yorkers cast ballots to elect David Dinkins, the first black mayor, over Rudy Giuliani.
We passed another milestone on Freedom's Road, a victory not for African Americans alone, but for all New Yorkers and for all Americans.
When Giuliani challenged Dinkins again, racialized discontent was stirring, like at this 1992 police rally at City Hall.
People will realize how many votes there are out here, and maybe they'll start catering to the police instead of the perpetrators of the community.
Giuliani won the rematch. It was the last time more than 50% of New York voters went to the polls. In the mayoral election since, general election turnout has hung around 40 to 30%. And the downward tilt is a little counterintuitive during the Obama era, with all the talk of an expanded electorate and mobilizing new voters. That didn't trickle down to New York City elections. Part of that is because we've had an incumbent in office, which generally lowers turnout. And part of that is by design, with roots that go way back, like 1800s back.
The Whigs in the city were competing against the Democrats.
That's Sarah Anzia, a political scientist at UC Berkeley.
And they saw an advantage in changing the election timing because they thought it would help their party win.
The municipal election schedule in New York was moved several times in the 1800s, depending on who was in charge.
It was changed precisely because the political parties competing for control of the city knew that changing the timing of elections would change not only how many people voted, but who voted.
So the history goes, populist parties wanted the elections at the same time as presidential elections. Parties that ran more on patronage wanted a separate off-cycle election. New York City elections have been off-cycle since the 1890s, with political consequences.
When turnout is low in these off-cycle elections, as it almost always is, then organized interest groups have greater influence.
In a new book, Anzia shows this calendar has real-life impacts. For example, off-cycle municipal elections correspond to higher salary and benefit packages for city workers, workers who happen to be more potent political players when fewer people vote. So you get the particular brand of New York City campaigning, where candidates have to stitch together diverse but reliable blocks and go to all their forums.
Other mayoral candidates this morning, ferries. Obviously, we're a water city.
If you want our support, if you want our respect, we want to hear your goals.
For those of us in the MWBE community, this is a momentous day.
Elected officials have little incentive to mess with the turnout formula. It's what got them elected, after all. And this year, there's one more factor. Most of the candidates are planning to take public matching funds. That comes with a spending cap. So there's even less incentive to spend scarce resources to get new voters to the polls. It makes a lot more sense to target campaign dollars on the smaller share of voters who always show up. For WNYC, I'm Anna Sale.